Chapter 10. Tammy arrives at the same time as the rest of the kids and is more than happy to help push two tables together to make enough space for everyone. Right as she's setting down some glasses of water, Mike walks in with a judgmental expression plastered across his face, and Will follows in after him. Walking up behind them is Justin, who seems to be explaining something in detail to Elle and Max. Elle is listening intently, while Max looks like she tuned out a while ago, her arm wrapped around Elle's protectively. Bringing up the back is Joyce, who appears to be fussing with something in her purse. "Hey, everyone." Steve jogs up with an easy grin. "Joyce, it's good to see you. How is the drive?" Joyce perks up when she sees him, pulling him into a tight hug before leaning back with a stressed-out smile. "Good morning, sweetheart. The drive was a little hectic, but we made it in okay. Thank you so much for letting them do this here. I'm so glad they don't have to play in the disaster zone that is the house right now." She laughs. Her hair is all over the place and her clothes are rumpled. It's clear that the drive up and the move have both put a ton of stress on her shoulders. But Joyce Byers is nothing if not persistent, and seems to be pushing through the frantic energy with a single-minded determination. "It's fine, Joyce, don't mention it." Steve smiles down at her. "How are things at the house? Do you or Jonathan need help with anything?" "We should be fine. We're just going to stop by the store to grab some more cardboard boxes before heading back." Joyce pats his cheek affectionately. "Thank you for offering though, sweetheart. I really appreciate it." Steve tries not to let his heart crumple into a paper ball. The motion is so maternal that he finds himself wondering what his own mum is doing at that moment. Certainly not visiting him. Which isn't entirely fair, since she's only away so much at the insistence of his father. They can't stand to be in the same state as each other, let alone in the same room. His dad is often funding expensive vacations and retreats, just to get her away from him. He shakes those thoughts from his head as Joyce continues to speak. "Jonathan will be by later to pick up all the kids, so don't worry about giving anyone a ride home. They promised to help us pack once they're done playing for today. Will's been so excited about it. It's nice to see him so passionate about something again." Steve knows what she means. He's happy to provide this opportunity for the kids to just be themselves without the threat of monsters or bad people hanging over their heads. Seeing them being able to participate in something that makes them happy heals a part of Steve that never got to have that himself when he was their age. "Is this where we're going to be playing?" Will perks up, holding a cardboard box close to his chest. "I have some stuff I need to get set up, if that's all right." "Of course it is, man. Go nuts." Steve ruffles Will's hair and smiles when he dodges out of the way with a grin. Someday he's going to convince Joyce to let him do something about that bowl cut. "But the leading theory is that there's actually multiple different versions of each universe, which honestly has so many implications that I might not be able to cover them all." Dustin is rambling on about something Steve isn't even going to try and comprehend as he walks in with Elle and Max. "Oh no," Max says with a dead-eyed look. "However will I survive without knowing the full list of implications on multiple universes in the stupid X-Men comic books?" "Henderson? Mayfield?" Steve walks over and smiles at them both. He looks over at Elle and his smile softens. "Little Hopper?" "Hello, Steve." Elle gives him a small smile. "Thank you for letting us play Will's game here. I like your uniform. It suits you much better."
"What, you don't think I made a good sailor?" Steve grins. "The Navy would be lucky to have me."
Elle just looks at Max and they both appear to be fighting off giggles. It's good to see them hanging out together. Right after everything that had happened at the mall, neither of the girls would speak to anyone. Having lost family members in such a traumatic way had been hard on both of them. Elle had lost the only family that had gotten to know her fully. Max lost her brother before he got the chance to. It comforts Steve to know that they found solace in each other. He worries about what's going to happen once Elle is gone. For now, he pushes that thought to the back of his mind and claps both his hands together. "All right, nerds, take a seat so I can get your drink orders in.
Rapido, let's go!
Steve gestures over to the table that Will is currently setting up with papers and several drawstring bags. They all file over and argue about who's going to sit next to who, but eventually they're all seated.
Okay, assholes, you all settled in?
Steve stands with his hands on his hips, taking a mental roll call of everyone as they bicker and throw balled up paper straw wrappers at each other. In the middle of the table are Will and Elle, squished up together as Will sets up a privacy screen for his notes. He's chatting with his new sister quietly, pointing at things on the piece of paper laid out in front of her. Elle's eyebrows are scrunched up with concentration as she nods along with what he's saying. Next to them sits Dustin, who's arguing with Mike across the way about the effectiveness of something called multiclassing, which sounds so complicated and boring that Steve feels his eyes start to gloss over a bit. Max sits in between Elle and Mike, scowling at him and jabbing him with her elbow whenever he gets too close. Steve pauses and looks around them again with a frown.
Where's Sinclair?
Before anyone has the chance to answer, the front door is slammed open with a rattling clang as the bells at the top of the door smack into the wall with force. Everyone goes silent as Erica walks in with a determined scowl and an embarrassed Lucas trailing behind her.
Erica! You can't just kick doors open!
He hisses at her as he closes the door gently behind them.
What if you crack the glass, you idiot?
I'm an important person. I deserve a dramatic entrance. She scans the room, a pair of bright pink Barbie sunglasses perched delicately on her nose. She pulls them off with a dramatic flair and clacks them shut before carefully placing them in the front pocket of her overalls. She looks around the room with a glare before her gaze lands on Steve. She stares at him for a moment before looking over at Dustin, who's attempting to hide behind a menu.
Where is he, Henderson? She asks bluntly.
Dustin pops up from behind the menu with a nervous laugh.
Erica! I didn't hear you come in. How nice to see you!
His grin is falsely cheery as he slaps the menu down on the table.
Where is he?
Erica asks again slowly, like she's talking to an idiot as she places her hands on her hips.
You know, I haven't seen him yet. He's probably not here since I definitely would have seen him already if he was. That was such a bummer since you came all this way. I wasn't expecting you or else I would have scoped out the situation more. No accounted for unexpected events, I guess.
Dustin rambles, his face paling slightly as he continues to plaster a fake grin on his face. Erica's eyes narrow at him before looking back up at Steve and then down to the burns on his arms. She purses her lips.
I'm placing a takeout order. I have a hangout session with Tina today that I can't reschedule. Go get me a menu, hair for brains.
Always a pleasure to see you too, Erica, Steve grumbles before handing her a menu.
I know it is.
She shoots back and flips it open, scanning for a moment with a considerate look before snapping it shut.
I want 2 chocolate chip pancakes with bacon and extra chocolate chips. Tell Fry Boy back there not to skimp out on me. I'm not afraid to go back there and do it myself.
You're in a delightful mood, Steve rolls his eyes, but scrawls out the ticket quickly before stabbing it down on the metal spike.
Teddy, you got an order!
Eddie's head pokes up at the window and, like a shark sensing blood in the water, Erica zeroes in on him. Eddie must miss her death glare as he spots Dustin across the way because he fails to sense any danger.
Henderson, he says with a grin. Great to see you, man. You're going to get that egg sandwich again today, or do you want me to whip you up something else?
With each word, Dustin shrinks into his shoulders more with a wince. The restaurant is deathly silent before Erica stalks over to the window and glares daggers up at him. Eddie stares down at her, taken aback, and opens his mouth to ask who she is, but she beats him to the punch.
Are you the mouth-breathing lowlife that made my dumb idiot cry?
She glares up at him. Eddie says, panicked, with all the grace of a drowning pigeon.
Let me attempt to get this through your thick skull, Erica says sweetly, putting her hands together with a smile. If you ever, ever try shit like that again, I will castrate you. Erica! Lucas squeaks out, horrified. Erica ignores him, jabbing a finger up at Eddie. I will castrate you in front of your friends and family and then feed your balls to my pet snake, Sweetie Pie. I'll make you watch her devour them and then I'll kick you in the space your balls used to be. And that's only if you catch me in a good mood. Eddie stares down at her with wide and blinking eyes, stunned into silence. You'd better pray to whatever god you don't believe in that you don't catch me in a bad mood. Because I will make you regret the day you fell out of that slip and slide you call a mother, she says, with a tone so cold it nearly burns. Oh my God, Dustin says weakly, propping the menu up to hide behind it again. Don't, she jabs her finger up at him again, forget my extra chocolate chips. She whips her head up with her nose held high, and the beads in her hair clack against each other as she walks away. She sits down at the bench near the front door and crosses her legs, daring anyone to meet her gaze. Lucas, why didn't you tell me your little sister is way cooler than you? Max asks with a wide grin. We should invite her to hang out more often. Steve looks over from Erica to glare down at Dustin, who's currently trying to blend in with the booth. You told her? Steve grits out between clenched teeth. He told everyone? Mike chimes in. Can I order my drink now? Dustin shoots Mike a look of utter betrayal, which Mike promptly ignores. You and I are going to have a discussion about respecting people's privacy later. Steve points at Dustin with a glare. And the rest of you are going to forget this ever happened. Got it? There's no chance in hell that's going to happen, Max snorts. But if you bribe me with a piece of pie, I might change my mind. Steve can feel a vein in his temple twitch, and he pinches the bridge of his nose with an exhausted sigh. Fine, he grits out. You can all have one piece of pie each if you promise to never bring this up again. They all make signs of agreement, and Steve rolls his shoulders back before he pulls out his ticket pad. Now, tell me what each of you little jerks wants to drink. I want to get back to work and pretend this never happened. I would like chocolate milk, Elle starts, glancing at Will, who just gives her a gentle smile and a nod. Please. Just water for me, please, Will looks up at him with the same small smile. I want another strawberry milkshake, Dustin says with a manic grin, whipping up from behind his hiding place behind the menu. No, Steve shoots him a look. It's 10 in the morning. You can have juice or milk like a normal human being. Chocolate milk is practically just melted milkshake. How is that any better? Dustin argues, looking indignant. Because I said so. Who's next? Dustin scowls and sinks into the booth, his arms crossed as Lucas sits up. Can I get some orange juice? Sure, kid. Steve shoots him a smile and looks over to Mike. All right, Wheeler, you're up. What do you want? A coffee with cream. Mike tries to look casual, but Steve catches him fighting a grin when the others make disgusted noises. You're hilarious, as if I'm going to give you caffeine on top of all the sugar I know you assholes are going to eat this morning. Besides, it'll stunt your growth. Aren't you paying you? Shouldn't you just get what we ask? Mike scowls up at him. You assholes aren't paying me, Bobby is. He will for sure fire me if I let you burn the diner down while hopped up on pie and coffee. Mike grumbles to himself and slouches across from Dustin, who is also still pouting. Steve looks at both of them and sighs internally. But I guess since it's a special occasion, you can have one cup. I mean it though, Wheeler, only one. Dustin, you can't have a milkshake, but I'll get you some chocolate milk with whipped cream if you want. You too, Elle. You can put whipped cream on drinks? Elle looks up at him with a surprised but serious look. Steve gives her a big grin. Kid, you can put whipped cream on anything you want. Elle looks shaken by this revelation.
Can I have a black cup of coffee, please? Max asks while scanning the menu. Do you have the hazelnut-flavoured stuff here, by any chance?
Sorry, kid, just leaded and decaf. Steve shakes his head as he scribbles down each order on his pad. You still want some?
Max hums with consideration before nodding.
Sure, I'll give it a try.
Why didn't she get reamed out for ordering coffee? Mike asks, indignant.
Because I know she can handle a shit, Steve says bluntly as he continues to write. Erica, do you want anything to drink while you wait for your takeout? Also, how are you getting to Tina's? Do you need a ride?
Quit mother henning me, Erica crosses her arms. Tina's mum's coming to pick me up. What are you going to do? Leave work and drop me off?
Forgive me for being concerned, Jesus.
Steve shakes his head with a scoff. I'm going to get all this set up. Do you guys need anything else before you start your nerd game?
No, thank you, Will chirps as he pulls out a folder full of loose leaf paper. I bought everything we'll need.
Let me know if that changes. Steve smiles down at him and almost misses when Will nods with a slight dusting of pink across his cheeks.
As for the rest of you, this is my place of work. Please behave yourselves.
A chorus of less than enthused, yes, Steve's, rings out, and Steve nods back at them before making his way to the drink bar. He pauses when he sees Eddie still standing, stunned in the window, and winces.
Eddie, I'm so sorry, Steve walks up with a frown. If I'd known Erica was going to come today, I would have warned you ahead of time. She can be a lot.
Eddie blinks himself out of his trance and looks over at Steve with wide eyes.
That is one scary kid, he says with a growing grin. I think she might be my favourite.
Steve snorts and rolls his eyes as he starts to prep all of the kids' drinks.
I don't know why I was even worried. Of course you'd love the terrifying one.
Steve shakes his head with a fond smile.
That castrating thing was inspired, Eddie says as he walks back towards the griddles. I might have to sneak it into my next campaign somewhere.
I'm just going to nod and pretend I know what that means.
Steve nods slowly as Eddie laughs. I'm also going to apologise about all the food the kids are going to order in advance. They're probably going to order enough to feed a small army.
Bring it on! Eddie pushes his sleeve up to flex his wiry bicep with an evil grin. I can handle anything those twerps dish out.
Whatever you say, Teddy. Steve smiles as he sprays out a decent dollop of whipped cream onto each glass of chocolate milk. Are you going to have enough time to make me something for lunch again today?
Steve tries not to let it show how much he wants Eddie to say yes. He's been dreaming about that sandwich Eddie made him since he had it. He also feels special when Eddie puts in a little extra work into his food, so sue him. He's not above begging to get it.
Sure, Stevie. Eddie shoots him a smile over his shoulder. Are you in the mood for anything in particular?
I'll take anything you'll give me, honestly, Steve says with a shrug as he pours Lucas's juice carefully.
Oh, sweetheart. Eddie stops and turns around, placing a hand over his heart. Don't tempt me with a good time.
Steve gives him a look and shakes his head as he sets all the drinks on one tray. Once he's done, he hoists it up, balancing it carefully and biting back a smile.
You need better lines, Munson, he calls back before walking towards the kids' table.
Will has set up a cardboard wall of some sort around his spot at the table as the other kids study some papers in front of them. Steve is careful to set down their drinks a safe distance away from each paper. As he's setting Dustin's chocolate milk down, he catches a glimpse at what's written on them.
Minch the Goblin?
He squints at the paper with a confused look.
What the hell kind of a name is Minch?
It's my character for the one shot. Dustin clears away the other paper so Steve can read it better. You can be lots of different races, but I thought it would be fun to play a goblin this time around.
Steve picks up the paper to read it closely as Dustin starts to ramble off stats and fighting mechanics that fly right over Steve's head. So, what? Each of you has a little guy that you're playing with? Steve glances up at all of them. Are their names stupid too? Dustin makes an offended noise as Lucas sits up and hands Steve his paper. I'm playing a ranger called Luther Gallo. I'm an elf that's really good at shooting arrows, basically. Lucas explains, shooting Dustin a smug smile when Steve makes a hum of understanding. So, everyone has a little guy. Steve looks at them all as they nod. Even you, Mayfield? I'm a rogue. I get to sneak around and stab people, Max says bluntly. I told them I was only going to play if I got a character that could beat the shit out of them all. Can I have a little guy? Steve looks up at Will, who seems to be in charge of the whole thing. The table goes silent, and Steve looks at them all with a frown. What? He says defensively. Am I not cool enough to get a little guy? It's not that, Will says quickly. We just didn't expect that you'd want to play. This doesn't really seem like your kind of thing. I can make you a character real quick if you want. I mean, I'd like to play. Steve shrugs. If Mayfield thinks it's okay, then I'd like to give it a shot. It can't be anything too involved, though. I need to help Tammy with the other customers. Will sorts through the pile of papers behind his cardboard wall with his eyebrows pinched together in concentration. He's quiet for a moment before looking up at Steve sheepishly. I have an NPC I wrote for the campaign you could play as, Will says with a wince. But I'm not sure if you'll like the character. I hear the guys gush about your writing skills all the time. I'm sure it's fine. Hand the paper over, Byers. I want to meet my little guy. Stop saying little guy, you're so embarrassing. Dustin groans out as Will hands Steve a sheet of paper. Just call it your character like everyone else does. Bite me. Steve shoots him a look before looking down at his paper. All right, I'm human. No major changes there. I guess my name's Felicity, which not a super masculine name, but whatever. Wait, what's a barmaid? The rest of the group break out into a fit of giggles and Steve frowns down at them. It's someone who works in an inn or tavern, Will explains quickly, shooting everyone else a look. They're responsible for feeding everyone and making sure they get their drinks. They're good people to get information from since they usually know all the town gossip. Since the one shot is set up as a murder mystery in a tavern, she's a pretty important character to the plot. Yeah, and she's probably a busty broad you have to flirt with to get the information out of, Lucas says with a snicker. Steve looks down at the paper again and realises that, yeah, the kid is right. Felicity is, in fact, a lady. Whatever. Steve scowls at them as they fight not to laugh at him. Hot ladies can be good at being little guys too. Steve's right. Will gives them all a disappointed look. Don't be small-minded. Powerful players can come from anywhere. Don't underestimate anyone or you might end up the next victim of the Terryville murderer. Steve smiles as Will's voice shifts into something more dramatic and it makes the other kids quiet down and listen. Everything you need to know about Felicity should be on that sheet, Will smiles up at Steve. But don't let anyone else look at your paper. This is a murder mystery story, which means one of you will end up being the murderer. It's up to your acting or detective skills to see if you can either solve the case or get away with murder. We have to act out our little guys, Steve frowns. Yeah, but don't worry, everyone struggles with it at first, Will says reassuringly. Just try out what you think would fit her character and adjust along the way. Dustin, why don't you show us what Minch is going to be like? Dustin clears his throat before speaking in a high-pitched, squawky voice. Hello, my name's Minch. I like Italian food and long walks on the beach. Dustin clears his throat again and smiles up at Steve and then motions for him to try. Steve feels a little embarrassed with everyone staring at him, but he takes a page out of Dustin's book before clearing his throat and speaking in a high-pitched lady's voice.
Hello, everyone. My name is Felicity, he says awkwardly, his face heating up as some of the kids giggle.
Will shoots them all a death glare and they shut up quickly.
I'll be taking care of you today, so just let me know if you need anything.
That was perfect, Will says with an encouraging smile. Let's go around the table and introduce ourselves. After everyone has gone around and introduced their characters, Steve takes a break to go and help Tammy. It's a slow day for the diner, which is why the kids picked it for their game, but it's still difficult to run a restaurant by yourself, so Steve tries to get as much done for Tammy as he can before jogging back to the table. He briefly waves to Eddie as he passes by the kitchen window, then feels like an idiot for waving. He ducks his head and walks over to see the kids arguing about something.
If we figured out the murders happened sometime this morning, it means that it couldn't have been me because I got here at noon, Max argued.
We don't know that they happened this morning. That's just what you suggested, Lucas argues back. For all we know, you could have made that up.
Why don't we ask Felicity who got here this morning? Dustin asks in his high-pitched character voice. I'm sure she has a record of when each person checked in.
Steve pulls his paper out of his apron and sees that Will did, in fact, write down when each character had arrived. He folds it back up and tucks it away before clearing his throat.
I heard someone say my name. Is there anything I can help you with?
Steve uses a pitcher to refill the kids' waters as he speaks in his high-pitched voice to stay in character. It's easy when Felicity and he pretty much share the same job. Steve would have to ask the kids these questions anyways, and at least this way, he gets to be part of the fun.
We were just wondering if you had a record of when everyone checked in within the last 24 hours.
Mike sits up and moves his glass closer to Steve so it's easier for him to refill it. Steve shoots him a grateful smile before refilling the cup and placing a hand on his hip.
Why, of course I do, but I'm not going to give away private information. That goes against my tavern's policy.
Steve grins as all the kids groan in annoyance.
Why, what if you found out the town mayor was having late night visits here twice a week? You might start to assume some things about his private life that might not be true.
This is an investigation into a murder, Elle says sternly. You will help us, or you will be standing in the way of justice.
Sorry, Missy, but justice can't pay the bills.
Steve flutters his eyelashes innocently as Elle scowls.
I can't afford to lose this job.
You might be out of a job if you don't give us that information, Mike glares up at him. Either tell us what we want to know, or we'll tell your boss that you're infringing on an investigation sanctioned by King Asmund himself. Steve is so engrossed in messing with the kids that he doesn't notice someone stalking up behind him. He startles when he feels someone pick up the hand propped on his hip, barely suppressing a yelp when he feels warm lips drag up the sensitive skin of his inner wrist. Now, gentlemen, is that any way to treat a lady? A low voice speaks from behind him, and Steve stiffens when he realises it's Eddie. He must have been walking by on his way out for a smoke break and caught the tail end of Mike and Steve's argument. He's grinning from ear to ear against Steve's wrist, and Steve can feel each warm puff of air as he breathes in and out against his arm.
Who are you? Mike furrows his eyebrows and glares up at him. We're a little busy, and it's rude to interrupt.
What's rude is pestering this fine woman when she's trying to work. As for your questions, I am Archduke Razgard. Does my reputation not precede me? Eddie says in mock offence as he sits up straight. Steve is having a hard time following what's happening, but the kids seem to love this surprising turn of events.
You must be the Duke that was coming to town for the election of the new mayor, Dustin says, completely pulling that out of his ass.
Charmed, I'm sure, Eddie grins, Steve's wrist still pressed up against his mouth. Steve feels like his face is on fire as Eddie's gaze snaps up to meet his own.
as for you," he says in a low, gravel-filled voice as he presses slow kiss after slow kiss up Steve's arm, "I don't believe we've had the pleasure of meeting before. Would you do me the honour of telling me your name?"
Steve lets out a slightly hysterical laugh, wincing when his voice cracks. He feels like his face could melt right off as Eddie grins wickedly against his wrist.
"My lady is shy," he coos and creeps in closer. "I have a proposal for you then, my fine lady. If you can't tell us your name, maybe we could share my last name."
"Jesus Christ," Steve can hear Dustin distantly say.
Steve scoffs, and even though his cheeks are burning, he tugs his wrist away from Eddie's grasp.
"You assume too much," Steve says back in his higher-pitched voice. "I was simply stunned by your audacity. Don't give yourself so much credit. My name is Felicity, if you must know. You can keep your name to yourself. Thank you very much."
Eddie's grin widens as Steve slips back into character.
"I like it when they're feisty, Felicity," he purrs as he leans back into Steve's space.
"I'd like to roll for seduction, please." Eddie slips back into his normal voice and looks over at Will for permission eagerly.
"Can he do that?"
Mike asks, flabbergasted.
"If it gets us the information we need, then who cares?"
Max fires back before looking over at Will, who appears to be considering it.
"All right, Archduke Rasgard, what are your stats before you roll?"
Will narrows his eyes slowly.
"I'm a level 5 bard with a +3 proficiency bonus for charisma rolls," Eddie says smugly. He says it so quickly, Steve's head spins a little. He's pretty sure he only understood about 3 words out of that whole sentence.
"Why is a bard an archduke?"
Mike grumbles in an annoyed tone as he slouches down in his seat with a huff. "Did he make enough money to buy a castle playing the lute? Seriously doubt it." Will waves him off and looks at Eddie consideringly.
"I'll allow it,"
Will finally says with a nod. "Roll for seduction." Eddie pumps his fist like a dork and scrambles to the table, hovering his hand around before finally snatching something off the table and tossing it back down. The kids all lean over eagerly to look at something that Steve can't see from where he's standing. Eddie jumps and smacks his hands together in a loud clap.
"Natural 20, baby!"
he hoots as the rest of the table hollers loudly. Eddie turns to Steve with a smarmy grin and raised eyebrows.
"Pucker up, buttercup, you're as good as mine."
Steve's head whips over to Will in alarm.
"What's happening? What does that mean?"
His gaze flickers from Will to Eddie quickly.
"It means he successfully seduced you."
Will bites his lip to hold in a smile.
"He rolled a dice to see if his flirting would be successful, and he got the best number you can get. You have to tell him what you know now."
"What?"
Steve's face colours.
"I don't think Felicity would fall for such cheesy lines like that. She's a classy lady. She takes a job very seriously."
"It doesn't matter," Mike shrugs. "He rolled a natural 20, man. Now tell us what we want to know." Steve scowls at them all before glancing back up at Eddie, who's preening like he just won fattest pig contest at the county fair.
"Fine, if that's how they're going to play, then Steve is going to give it his all."
He shifts his stance to pop out one hip and leans in closer with a girlish giggle, batting his eyelashes up at Eddie.
"Why, Mr. Archduke, I didn't realise you had such a way with words."
Steve goes back to his higher pitched voice.
"You're going to make a simple country girl like me blush."
"You're anything but simple, dear."
Eddie picks Steve's hand back up and presses a kiss into the back of it with a smile.
"In fact, I know you're smart enough to have kept track of when everyone entered and left the tavern since yesterday."
"You're certainly right, Mr. Archduke, I did."
Steve pulls out his character sheet and saunters in closer. He's close enough now that he can see Eddie falter and break character a little bit.
"Good.
I have it all written down right here. Would you like to see it?"
Steve leans in and whispers the last part against Eddie's ear. He can hear someone at the table make a gagging noise, but he elects to ignore them. Especially when he can see how red Eddie's ears are turning from his close proximity.
I think I would like to see it, yes. He clears his throat, and Steve grins. Thank you for being so eager to help us, my lady.
Oh, you have no idea how eager I can be, Steve says back in his normal voice as he slips the folded sheet of paper into the front pocket of Eddie's apron, making sure Eddie can feel his palm slip down the flat plane of his stomach. Once he drops the paper in his pocket, he gives it a pat for good measure.
Why don't you open that up? And once you're done reading it, I'll take you in the back and show you.
With shaking hands, Eddie pulls the paper out, staring wide-eyed at Steve before glancing down and reading it quickly. His eyes widen a fraction more before quickly looking up at Steve, whose grin turns menacing.
I want to roll to stab him, Steve says with a smug grin, not breaking eye contact with Eddie. Let me do the thing that tells me if I get to stab him.
What?
Mike shoots up from the table as the rest of the kids burst into an uproar.
The barmaid's the killer?
Will grins and tosses Steve the same die Eddie had used earlier. Steve rolls it around in his hand before dropping it on the table, and you could hear a pin drop, it was so quiet. The kids all lean over to see how it landed.
It's an 18!
Dustin laughs and throws his hands up in the air.
That for sure beats your armour class, Mr. Bard! Steve, roll for damage.
Eddie hasn't taken his eyes off of Steve's once. His pupils so blown out, his eyes look almost black. Steve arches a smug eyebrow before turning to the table to figure out which die he's supposed to roll next.
You have a poisoned oak blade that you've been using to kill people so far, so you get to roll this die 3 times and add up the damage.
Will hands him a 12-sided die. Plus there's a bonus of 3 on it since it's poisoned.
So I just roll this thing 3 times to see how beat up he is. Steve asks, squinting at the new, weirdly shaped die.
Please, Felicity, have mercy on old Archduke Razgard.
Eddie snaps out of his flustered state and clasps his hands together in a pleading gesture.
I thought what we had was special.
Steve ignores him and rolls the dice 3 times. Altogether, it comes up 30 points of damage. When Eddie hears that, he clutches his stomach and stumbles back, crashing into one of the tables with a loud groan before flopping to the ground in a heap.
You are so dramatic.
Steve stands over him with his hands on his hips.
God only knows what's stuck to this floor. Get up before you get pancake syrup in your hair.
Eddie opens one eye before closing it again and lets his tongue flop out like he's dead.
I can't hear you. He bemoans. I'm currently bleeding out from a stab wound in my side. My heart is also bleeding out because a beautiful woman stomped all over it with her dorky sneakers.
Your bard wouldn't die from just 30 points of damage, would he? Dustin leans over to ask Eddie, who's still sprawled out against the floor.
No, but he'd definitely die of heartbreak.
Eddie sits up with a grin and lets Steve pull him up.
I've got to get back to work anyways. Make sure to avenge me, kids.
Steve helps Eddie dust off and fusses with his hair to make sure there aren't any old bits of egg stuck in it.
Steve Harrington is good at Dungeons and Dragons,
Eddie says with wonder, as Steve scrutinises a white piece of fluff he finds stuck to Eddie's back.
I must be dreaming.
You dream about me often, Teddy? Steve smiles as he references the conversation they had earlier that morning. Don't fish for compliments. It's unbecoming for a lady. Eddie turns around and scolds him. I really do need to get back to work, though. I'm sure Ray's about ready to wring my neck. Thanks for coming over. Steve smiles up at him. I think you made the game extra special for everyone. They deserve to have someone extra goofy around to make them laugh.
You think I'm goofy?
Eddie's smile grows. Steve must be feeling extra soft from hearing all the kids giggle and have fun. It's the only explanation for what happens next.
I think you're wonderful, he says softly as he leans in closer.
I always have. Instead of giving Eddie time to process that statement, Steve ducks his head and makes his way back to the drink station to top off the kids' drinks.
While he's hiding his face with his shoulders hiked up to his ears, he misses Eddie standing stock still in the middle of the dining room before practically melting to the floor again, hiding his face behind his hands.
Ugh, Max says as she scrunches up her nose. Boys are so gross.
Elle nods solemnly.
Thank you.